we're in the book of Mark, and we're going to just keep on going in chapter 6. But I've asked this before, and I'm going to go a different angle from this. Who here remembers their first job? First job. Okay, I got to know. Tell me what some of your first jobs. What was your first job? McDonald's? Nice. McDonald's, okay. McDonald's, anything else? First job. Donna? Italian ices. Like Rita's kind of thing? Okay. Wow. Chicago. Wow. They don't have water ice in Chicago. They have water ice in Chicago. So. Anyway, that's our Delco people over there. what else? What else? Give me your first job. First job. First job. Elaine. Really? Wow. Tammy? Grocery store. I'm right there. I was grocery store too. Were you cashier? Okay, I was bag boy. So I was the guy. I was lower than cashier. I was the guy putting the bags in your groceries. What's that? Aaron, what's yours? Mowing. Gee, why? How would that be a thing, right? Okay. Here, how much training did you have? Aaron, none. Get out there and work. Zero training. Tammy, any training? Oh, they did. They just threw you to the wolves kind of thing, right? Tammy? Okay, did anybody have like a video training or anything like that where you had to sit and watch an awful orientation video? did they act it in front? You'll see from... You didn't have like the old, and this is how you bag. Boop. You had to like do the old like slideshow. Oh my God. So this is one of the, by the way, there's a power plant in, I think, San Diego that had one of the best training videos ever for, this is so cool. It's right up my alley. It probably is not up yours, but it's right up mine. So Matthew, make sure I have sound for this. Hang tight. Turn it up. Up, Matthew. Up, up, up.
Chekhov.
Yes, Captain.
So many safety hazards, Lieutenants. Are you prepared to get us out of our current situation?
We are rewriting our procedures, Captain.
And we have our training recovery plans in place too, sir.
Great. I'm counting on you to make sure our mission is successful.
Captain, you will not be disappointed.
Good. Okay, everybody, listen up. Spock, plant daily brief.
Captain, our ship has just come off a record run before encountering this unusual space fabric. Reactor power is down to 10%, and boron levels are as low as 84. Ship's...
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome, by the way. That's amazing. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so remember those horrible orientation videos that some of us had to watch? Sorry. Remember those horrible orientation flip charts? Safety clause? Oh, my gosh. Now, do you remember when you actually made it to, like, the sales floor or the work floor and how completely different it was from the training videos that you had, right? It was nothing like it, because you're there, like, there's some guy, there's some guy being the most, like, the most safety aggressor ever, just, like, throwing things into a thing. Oh, this is how it's really done, kid. Like, oh, my gosh, that's not what I saw in the video. Forget about the video. You're like, oh, my God. It's nothing like what it was, because when you actually got to the sales, did anybody remember their first customer or your first time? You're like, right? I remember, like, ringing somebody up for the first time when they actually moved me up to the cashier, and, like, and then, like, oh, that one person gives you, like, the penny afterwards, and they got to make, like, whole change, and I, like, freaked out, and I just started handing the person money because I didn't want to make that. I'm like, that's not what the number on the machine says, right? And so I'm one of those. Sorry, Don. So, but that's when it got real. That's when it got real. Like all the training that you had, you were put on the spot to what needed to happen. And I don't know if I was a servant at Red Robin for like 2 months, okay? I was awful. I was they showed you all these safety training videos about the shoes and proper footwear and how to. And when they got out there, I was in the Any servers here? Yeah. Oh, you were at Red Rock? I was in the weeds. And by the way, I don't ever remember filling somebody's cup of coffee, ever. So, yeah, my tips weren't very good, by the way, not very good. So, by the way, this is about to happen for the disciples. It's about to get real. Because we saw last week when Jesus went to Nazareth, he then was persecuted and rejected, and now he's sending his disciples out into a world to do something grand, something amazing. And he's going to give them what they need. But anyway, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 6. We're going to be in verse 7. Well, actually, it's 6b is where we're starting. But we're going to be starting with verse, 6b, but 7 is where I want you to go. Anyway, boat of questionable size, so. Anyway, so here we go. Jesus went around, this is Mark chapter 6. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent, and they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So here is the disciples right after Nazareth. Jesus continued on that ministry, and Jesus wanted the news of the kingdom to continue to all the Jews, right? So he finally says to these 12 disciples of his, listen, I'm not going to be able to reach everybody that I want to reach by just going from town to town. I'm going to need you guys to go. And by the way, this is going to be the model that's going to happen now to the end of time, right? This is the way that Jesus wants it to happen, that we are the ones being sent out to proclaim the good news to all the world. And that's why when we look at the church of Jerusalem, even they were scattered and sent out, and then this gospel became global. So something to keep in mind as we take a look at this. He goes from 12 to 12, from town to town, and the 12 are now being used to do the works that Jesus wants them to do. Now, keep in mind, up until this point, Jesus had been doing the majority of the teaching, and he was almost, he was radical in a sense of trying to get people to understand the ways of following the Torah, by the way, which are the first five books of the Bible, right? How to live it out, how to truly take it one step further, because unfortunately, at that time, the temple, the teachings, the whole religious system was corrupt. And you can see how corrupt it was you're going to see in a few chapters when they actually decide to kill Jesus. Because even the high priest said it's better for one man to die than all the world to lose their faith. So you're going to see this huge corruption that he's exposing. But here he's teaching a new way, right? Now he's talking about, no, it's not okay to kill, but I'm going to say it's not okay to hate. Like, yeah, it's wrong to be an adulterer, but it's even worse to even look lustfully upon. Like, Jesus is bringing a new radical teaching, and people are going crazy. And actually, it's super popular, because you're going to see in the later portion of this chapter how many people Jesus has to feed that are coming to listen to him on the side of a hill to hear what he has to say. They were hungry for it. And he's sending out his disciples. So something must be working. Now he's sending his disciples out. And by the way, just if you actually follow the narrative, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what we call the synoptic gospels. Synoptic means that they all share very similar stories. We believe that Mark is the actual root of all the synoptics, that it was written first, and all the other gospel writers were like, oh, wow, I should write my experience using Mark as a template. So they all share similar stories. And we get some inside scoop from other gospel writers that maybe Mark left out. Here is Matthew chapter 9. And if you look in Matthew chapter 9, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news to the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. So we get the sense that Jesus looked over the landscape, and what he saw were broken people who were like sheep without a shepherd, who needed someone to guide them, who needed somebody to love them. How nervous were you on that first day? I got to know, how nervous were you on that first day at work? When you finally got to the sales floor, when you got your first table, right? Oh my God. Hi, I'm Matthew. I'm your new year server. Oh my God, this is real, right? Don't hate me. Now the disciples are being sent out. Like, you've seen what I've done, and now I'm sending you to share this good news. Here's the issue. I think so many of us, because, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, this hasn't changed in 2,000 years. Jesus still sends his workers out. Now, we don't take it as literal as the Jehovah's Witnesses do, as they said. They literally send two by two to your house. That's, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not. When they ring your doorbell and say, do you have a moment to talk about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Like, they're sending two by two. This is part of their church. We do this not out of obligation, but out of a desire to see Jesus move in the world and to break through into people's lives, that we go and share the good news with other people. That's what we're called to do. But I think sometimes we get up to this point because we get to the end of the book of Matthew, and he says, go into all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, therefore go. And we're like, he said those words. I got to do something. Oh, I'm super nervous. What if I screw it up? What if I don't say the right thing? Right? We get all nervous, just like it's our first day on the job, right? But what if I were to tell you that Jesus made you for this task? Like, he gave you everything you needed to be a gospel agent to the world. He gave you a place of employment. He gave you a hunger in your heart. He gave you a Holy Spirit who lives inside of you, who desires for the world to know this Jesus, this hope, this salvation, and the abundant life that comes as a result of knowing him. But I think so often we're like, oh my God, we get so nervous. I mean, I can only imagine as these guys went up from town to, and what if they don't like me? Can you imagine? Even Jesus said, well, they might not like you. And you're like, oh my gosh, they might not like me, right? Like, it's true, we get a little nervous. And so what do I want you to know? What does God want you to know? Because we saw Jesus rejected, but then we saw Jesus continuing his mission, and now we see Jesus sending his 12 disciples, and we cannot miss out on the reality that Jesus has done the same thing for us if we read Matthew 28:19-20, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them all that I've commanded to you, and lo, I am with you to the very ends of the age. So, what does that mean for us? What do I want you to know? Number one, you are God's plan A, if you know this or not. God's plan for getting the gospel message out is you. Whether you like that or not, it is you, right? Is anybody here, like, find a job that they were made for? Like, you found a fit. You found what you were created to do. Maybe some of you are still struggling with that. I get that. Some of you are in some careers that aren't exactly maybe where you want to be. But there are things that you do that you know that you were made for. Right? Maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's, you know, it could be anything. It could be a job. It could be, being a parent. Whatever that might be, you were made for this. Well, the truth is, God made you to be a gospel agent. This is his plan. His plan A is people, right? So often, I've heard, well, if God wanted his God, why didn't he just snap his finger and make it? That's not the way he wants it to work. That's not the way that this works. Like, God's plan for the salvation of the world is not through him. It's through you. That is his desire. If Jesus, no matter what, it doesn't matter what we feel, or like, man, if I just keep throwing money at that Great Commission, like, no, it's you. That hashtag that we've been talking about the last 2 weeks about where are you, if you were to think of like a hashtag mark with your house in the center and then other houses all around you. As we've been looking and kind of working with that, I'm hoping that you're going to start sharing with me some stories about how I don't care how big or how small, I would hope for maybe next week or the week after that, we can start to share, you know what, I actually talked to my neighbor And they're kind of a cool person, right? Oh, I actually talked to my mailman. I actually invited someone to like talk about the Bible. I realized I didn't have a Bible. I actually gave them a Bible. Like, I'm hoping for stories of ways that we can interact with what Jesus wants us to do in our spheres. Because there are people all around us, not just, like, listen, I love the work that the international workers are doing across the globe on the work of the Alliance and many other missionaries. We're not the only show in town. God's primary desire for you is to be a gospel witness right where you are. Right? You're God's plan A. Right? And he's given you everything you needed. These two passages in Matthew 10:1 and in Matthew 6:7 are very important because look what Jesus gave his disciples. He gave them authority over all these things to do amazing works, right? To go and bring healing, to go and cast out, to push back the darkness. Like, he gave them the authority to do it. And guess what? That same authority is given to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's given you everything you needed. Now, don't get me wrong, there's going to be ups and downs. The disciples are going to struggle with this in a little bit. In fact, they're going to find, come across a demon, and they're going to be like, we couldn't deliver it. And Jesus is like, did you try praying? And they're like, oh, we're supposed to do that? He's like, did you try praying? No? Okay, well, try praying. Watch this. You know, and they're going to struggle a bit. But, oh my goodness, we have the same authority. You have it too. And if not that, more. Right? I don't know if you know this, but we always like give the, oh, well, they lived with Jesus. Do you realize that you have something greater than they do? Right? What did Jesus say? Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even what? Greater things. That's a sermon series I'm going to preach. Wouldn't that be awesome? Isn't that going to be sweet? Some of you don't have Netflix, but like I'm preaching that series at some point. But like greater things, like you will do greater things as a result, like than what Jesus did. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit, who now after Acts 2 has come to those who believe in Him. The disciples didn't have it. In fact, Jesus breathes on them the Holy Spirit, and then they actually get the fullness of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. They get like a baby Holy Spirit, and then they get like the fullness of the Spirit. Don't ask me to define that right now. That's a whole nother topic. We're not doing that right now. But what I'm saying is you get the fullness of the Spirit. The moment you become a Christian, you get the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And we are called to do greater things than even Jesus did. That's amazing. And I want you to live this, identify with this, walk in this. Because you're God's plan A. You're the number one. You're not plan B. You're not C. You're not D. He didn't look at me like, well, that's not working, so we might as well. No, Jesus died and then commissioned all of us to go into the world and declare the good news. With that being said, I want us to know a couple things. This verse proves a couple things about who God is and what he said that we are supposed to do. But let me pray first, because the reality is, there was 12 people that left from that, or 11, excuse me, 11 people that left from that mountainside that walked down to Jerusalem, and the world was changed. I'm looking at about 35, 40 people here, and then more online, who have the opportunity to change the world and change the situations that they find themselves in, or to bring about somebody from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's what we have. That's the potential in this room. It's amazing. Okay? That's great. Even if there's only one person in this room, it would still be amazing. Because I just heard one of my chaplains just said that he had an opportunity to pray with two police officers to receive Jesus as their Savior. That's amazing, right? That's amazing. That two people that are now forever in the kingdom of heaven as a result of somebody's witness. We have the opportunity to come alongside and allow Jesus, his word, his message, his love to infiltrate and be a part of people's lives. Because you know what? People did the exact same thing for us. Somebody shared with us the good news, and it found soil, and it found a root, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. So, you're God's plan A for the salvation of the world. Not to put any pressure on you, right? You're God's plan A for the salvation of the world. That's just kind of, That's a kind of reality. I need you to understand the gravitas of this kind of this statement. And how much Jesus depends on you and loves you and sees your potential. Yours, A. That sounds like a good spot to pray. Let's do that for a moment. Lord, there are people and situations, there are neighbors who, Lord, we have an opportunity to come along and support, have an opportunity to come and share. It might mean that we put ourselves out there. It could mean we might even be rejected for our faith. It could mean that we out ourselves as a Christian. It could mean whatever. It could mean the salvation of somebody to share all of eternity with you. The possibilities are truly endless. And you've entrusted with us this gospel message, and let us share it and let it go forth from this moment, sharing with you this good news and to do this work. So lead us today, Lord, being reminded that we are your plan A. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. First thing I want you to know is that God is a provider, and he wants to prove it to you because he's going to. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except the staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belt. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Did anybody here, who's here, ever packed for a trip? Who's ever packed for a trip? Come on, let me see those hands. Who's packed for a trip? Okay, has anybody ever noticed the difference between the way men and women pack? like packing for a list. Like women, make lists, plan, shoes, jewelry, cosmetics, pack for the kids, change mind, revise list, stage items, fit it all in, worry about what you forgot. Dudes. Grab two pairs of jeans, three shirts, socks, shorts, shaving kit. Done, right? It's over, right? By the way, did anybody notice something missing on that list? I was going a little bit like, dude, it's not there, man. It's not there. You know what? I'll just turn them inside out, right? Oh, my gosh. Like, there was a huge difference. Like, seriously, like, Tab will pack probably like 2 days before. Like what? Give me like 5 minutes. Like I'll be ready to go. Right? Oh, we're leaving now? Oh my goodness! Throw it in there. It's done, right? And then you know you'll pick up that razor. You'll pick up that toothbrush at some point, right? You're good for at least another 8 hours or something like that, right? So listen, there's a huge difference. So I don't know if men just have more faith or what. I don't know what's going on here, but there's a huge difference in the way you pack. But I can guarantee you, every single person in this room would be very uncomfortable if this was the case. Even today, like if you were to say, okay, we're going to go for a trip and I don't want you to bring any food, don't bring a bag, and only wear what's on you, and by the way, don't bring any money. By the way, who here would even be comfortable with that today? I'm just curious. You're all right with that? You'd be good? Yeah, I can see that. No. Seriously, like can you imagine how this message was that's in our land of abundance. Like, we wouldn't even be comfortable with that today. Can you imagine what this message was being presented to people 2,000 years ago? Like, by the way, they had to plan stuff. Where they were going to eat, where they were going to stay. Jesus is telling them, you know what? I'm going to take care of it all. I want you to go and live this out. By the way, he wants them to live out what he already taught them to do. Do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, or what you wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, that your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much more valuable? Are you not much more valuable than they? Like, when Jesus wants to make sure that this wasn't a suggestion. Like, what he teaches is not just, oh, it should go in one ear and out the other. What Jesus says should be lived and applied. And so what he's saying is, I'm going to give you an opportunity to live this one out. You're going to find out that God is going to provide for every single one. They are going to find out that God is going to provide for every single one of their needs. And guess what? Some days we need to be reminded of that too. because it hinders us from the work that he's called us to do. Because we worry and we're, oh, if I don't. Listen, God has never let any single person down in this room at all. I know this. I've talked to most of you on a monthly basis. Like, I know, God has never just forgot that one. Like he works it out. He always provides. Every single time. That tithe check that you write, that God, between God and you, he knows. You put it in the box, and you're, I don't know, I'm just going to, you know what, I'm just going to, and God moves. He always does, every single time. Why? Because Jesus already knew it. Lost as a boy, angels in the wilderness, the crowds in Nazareth wanting to kill him, God provided every single time. By the way, Jesus was gone for 3 days, at age 13 in a foreign city, right? Mary and Joseph, they leave, and Jesus is just stuck. Can you imagine losing your child for 3 days? Like, where would he be? What's he eating? Does he have clean underpants, right? Like, can you imagine? You know, and what? They get there, and he's fine. He's sitting with the teachers. And it says that Mary treasured all these things in her heart. God provides. Angel, 40 days starving, guess what? God provided for Jesus. And then ultimately, they wanted to kill Jesus, throw him off a cliff. And God stops the crowds, and Jesus moves right through in this supernatural event. And now he's passing that knowledge and those experiences off to his disciples. That he will always provide. You have no reason to worry. You have no reason to fear. You have no reason not to share that message. You have no reason not to go to that place. You have no reason not to redeem that relationship or whatever it might be. You are God's plan A, and he will provide for everything that you need today. And he wants you to know this and accept it, and he wants you to apply this today. He will provide. He will always provide. No matter what you're going through, no matter what situation that you have, he will never just drop the ball and be like, oh, that was today? Never. That's not the God I serve, and that's not the Bible. That's not the God of the Bible and whom it speaks of. He always provides. So number one, you're God's plan A. How do we know that? Because he always provides for you. Always. Even if people reject you for the message in which you share, and that's coming up next, God will always provide. Always. That's point one. Point two. Our second point comes from a 21st century philosopher. I don't know if you know this. So very deep thoughts here, by the way. Like, shake it off, man. Like, shake it off. Like, we're called, like, in this verse, look what Jesus says. If any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off as a testimony against them. I should be blasting that song. Shake it off. Anyway, like, shake it off, man. Like, just let it go. Like, what is it to you? Jesus tells his disciples that should their message be rejected. One of the top reasons why Christians do not evangelize is they're afraid of being rejected. It's a true story. What if they don't like? By the way, I'm here to tell you, people are more open to talks of faith than ever before. We have it in our mind that nobody wants to talk about things of God. That is not true. Statistically, from the Billy Graham Center of Evangelism, it says that people are more willing to talk about Jesus than ever before. They want to hear about it. They're not just going to be like, oh, you're an idiot or whatever. Like, do you believe in that stuff? There's a minority that believes that. But you know what? There's a lot more people that are a lot open to the things of the Bible than we would have ourselves believe. And when Jesus says, listen, you're going to go, and if people don't understand it or just reject you, you have to begin to say, you know what? Okay. I'm gonna shake that. That's not on me. That is not on me. Unfortunately, that's on them. Right? Even in that day, the Jews had a huge problem with tensions between Jews and Gentiles. Big problems. In fact, when a Jew would go into a Gentile city, when they would come out, they would actually shake off their robes as a symbol of, like, I'm not even, like, carrying any, like, thoughts or philosophies that a Gentile might bring. They would actually shake out. So the idea of shaking something out was not a foreign concept to the disciples. But here Jesus is saying, just like you see the religious leaders want nothing to do with the Gentiles, it's not on you should the message be rejected. at all. Instead, what we're called to do is move on. Keep going. Because here's the reality. Jesus will never reject you. And whose desirability do you want? Whose favor is it that you're seeking? Them or the one of your God? Like, and that's, being a people pleaser, I have such a hard time with this. It's ingrained in my heart. Like, I want everybody to like me, right? I want to be everyone's best friend. And there's, dude, I'll tell you, when I got into ministry, the one thing that everybody told me from day one is not everybody's going to be your best friend. It's just a reality. You're going to say something, somebody's going to be upset. You got that right. You're going to do something, people are going to be upset. Got that one right. If they could teach a COVID 2020 class, like, man, you're gonna come up with something and it's going to split people right down the middle. Or there's going to be people who like it and there's going to be some that don't, and you have to walk in the path that you need to walk in. It was like, oh my gosh, right? And the truth is, I've had to go back and take a look and be like, whose opinion am I really elevating here? That of Scripture or that of somebody else? Am I putting something or anything above God? You know what that's called? Idolatry. And that's where my heart wrestles, right? I have to do the things that God has called me to do. And when people say, you know what, that's none of me, and you're like, okay, man, that's good. We got to move on. I'm moving on. Jesus tells us if we are rejected for him and for his gospel, we shake it off. And you know what the reality is? A hardened heart takes us really away from the time and the place and the effort to those who are seeking him. Those people that maybe we are trying and we've done everything we can. We've given the Bible. We've shared with them. And they're just like, no. It's really pulling us away from the people who are truly seeking. And so what Jesus is saying, don't waste your time on people who have outright rejected me. Move on. Keep going. And that's on them. And by the way, hear this. It's not on you. I think so often we carry the weight of so many people and we feel personally responsible for other people. Take a breath here this morning. Someone else's eternal state is not destined on you. You're responsible to share the message. You're responsible to water the seed. You're not the one that makes it grow. Take that to heart today. And stop tripping over ourselves and saying, I have to be. God will do the work. We just have to be faithful. In the next few chapters, we're going to see Jesus teaching to the crowds by the thousands. The thousands. There's going to be so many people, 5,000 people, 5,000 men are going to be sitting there listening to Jesus. And Jesus is going to want to feed them. Right? This is what we're going to see. We're going to see the feeding of the 5,000 coming up very shortly. And it got to that size only one reason, because the word started getting out. And the disciples would have been like, well, we're going to stay a couple more here because Frank, he's just not getting it. And they had to move on. Move on to the next. So. Shake it off. Did you ever try to urge someone to watch your favorite movie? Whether it's Princess Bride or whatever, right? Right? Anybody, did you ever try to get, you got to see this movie, man? And they're like, okay, yeah, whatever. And you're like, no, man, you gotta see this movie, right? And you're like, theoretically, you could like duct tape them, kidnap them, sit them in your basement, and make them watch the movie, right? But in reality, they're still not gonna be like, oh my gosh, this is dumb, right? They're still not gonna get it. But there's gonna be others that'll be like, you know, I watched that movie. That was awesome, man. That was great, right? It's not on you. Just be faithful to share. And if it's rejected, shake it off, because that's not on you either. Because there's a lot more people that God has put in your path who need to hear the gospel message. Last point. We're going back to our main point. You are God's plan A. They went out and they preached that people would repent, and they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil. Like I said before, this is one of those situations where people, by the way, that's plot holes, not potholes, by the way. Big difference. We talked about potholes in Sunday school. Do you ever have somebody like point out plot holes in a movie? You know what I'm saying? Like when they're like, oh my gosh. If they, like, when you're watching Lord of the Rings, like, if the eagles would have just flew that stupid ring into the thing, every movie would be a lot shorter. Or you know, the people were like, you know, if that kid from Home Alone had a cell phone, this whole movie wouldn't make sense. You know, there's always that people that ruin a movie for you. You ever have those people that are like, hey, this is so dumb, right? And so people are like, well, if God would just make himself known to the world, it'd be a little different. Well, guess what? He already did that. And those people rejected him to his face. And so we are God's plan A. We are it. We are the means by which Jesus wants to share this to the world. I should have done that in like the lowercase, uppercase, for, you know, our like sardonic friends out there. You are God's plan A. This is it, to reveal him to the nations. I want you to understand that. You have a part in this message. And while it's great to give to the GCF, thank you for your faithful support of our missions. That is not the only way in which we share the gospel. Because there are people literally, like across the street, who need to hear the gospel message. Jesus wanted to make sure the disciples got on their feet and actually did the work to be part of God's divine plan for the redemption of mankind. We can't just stay in our little circles, our nice little church circles, right? Oh, this is great. We're just about ready to get to communion here, but I want to share the story before I close here. There's a pastor in our district who called me, and he just found himself in firefighter chaplaincy, right? He's older than me, and he called me up the other day. I said, so, man, what's going on? He had a few questions. He goes, I've never heard anybody swear as much in my life, right? And I'm like, welcome to the firehouse, man. And it does two things. Number one, if they swear around you, that means they trust you. And number two, if they're swearing around you, that means they welcomed you into their little, like, circle, right? Like, he was so, like, appalled at how, like, dirty their mouths were. And I'm like, that's amazing. Like, that's great. And he's like, why is that great? I'm like, because you're rubbing elbows with those who need to know the God. Now, I'm not saying because you say a bad word, you don't know Jesus. But there's a good chance that many of these individuals don't know Jesus. And he's getting himself out of the four walls of his little space and actually doing the gospel work of actually getting to where they need to go to share the gospel message. It's amazing. And I'm like, dude, great for you, man. Make it happen. I'm like, just don't say one back, because, you know, like, I've been in the fire service for about like 4 years now. Now if there's a chance that I'm going to say something, I shouldn't. But anyway, but the reality here is that we are called to get into those places. If we just come to church, guess what? We're missing out on the big picture. We can't stay in our little circles. We have to be able to evangelize into those places where he's called us. Why? You're God's plan A. He has so much faith in you to get this done, he gave his life for you. And that's what this is all about. That Jesus has done a mighty work and has so much faith that he was willing to go to the cross and die because he knew that this was the perfect will of God to share the gospel message to all the world. So that's why we come to communion.